Rehoboth New Life Center, located at the corner of 21st and Highland Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, would like to invite you to join us for Sunday service at 10 a.m., featuring great praise and worship and the Word given with purpose. Also join us on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. for Revelatory Bible Study. You can also listen and watch great studies and sermons at www.rehobothnewlife.com. And now we'd like to present to you this week's message by Pastor Mike Browning.
You can stand for the reading of God's Word. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we ask you one more time, Lord, to anoint my words, O God, that I should speak. That, Lord, these words, O God, which will be from your lips to my ears, O God, O God, will encourage, will touch, will bless, O God. O Lord Jesus, we ask, O God, that you move in this service. Give us a heart to receive, hallelujah, that your word will be planted in our souls. We thank you right now, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The title of my message, which I won't be long, and I know I say that every week. Amen. But the title is, It's Not Your Fight. It's not your fight. Okay, just to make sure you heard me, let's hear you say it.
It's not your fight.
All right, turn to your neighbor and tell him,
it's not your fight.
Amen, it's not your fight. You know, all of us, when we grew up in high school, we saw lots of fights. You know, there would be fights and everybody would just crowd around, everybody would be attracted to the commotion. And most of the time, I think we were very glad it was not our fight. We were very glad we were not involved. Unfortunately, I was the older brother. You know, when you're the younger brother in the family, you usually can get some help in fights. But I was the older brother, so there was no one to help me. I just had to look out for myself. And if you're the oldest one or you're in a place where you're by yourself, it turns out a lot of times it is your fight. But you know, in the spiritual walk we're in today, it's not our fight. A lot of times we forget that it's not our fight. And so you know what happens? We take the things that happen to us personally. We forget who is fighting the fight for us. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle. That means we don't fight against flesh and blood. Most of the situations you're in, you're thinking it's that person, this situation that I have to deal with. And we get worried, we get concerned, we get fearful, we get depressed because we can't figure a way out. We are looking for the big brother. We're looking for the big sister who will come in and help us. But I want to tell you today, it's not your fight. It is not your fight. You see, there's a war going on. Those of you who were in Sunday school, the very first verse that I read, it says that there would be a hatred, an enmity, a state of war between Satan and between the seed of the woman. And in the Sunday school, we learned that the seed of the woman was a prophecy of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. This war, this fight that we're in, is not our fight. Yes, we're fighting, but it's not our fight. Now that sounds contradictory, but I'm going to explain. You see, it started when Satan declared himself that he wanted to be God. He wanted to be just like God. He wanted to have the powers of God. He wanted to rule and reign this planet. And he decided that he was going to make it his planet. He decided he was going to take over this planet and control it. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13, it says, for thou hast said in thine heart, you know, you can't do anything before you think it. Anything you do, any mistake you've made, any trouble you've got in, you first thought about it. You said in your heart. It's no different with Satan. He said, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He goes on to say, I will be like the Most High. Whatever trouble you got into, you first have to think it. You first have to think about it. You first have to consider your actions. You know, very rarely do we just find ourselves in trouble and it's nothing to do with us. Most of the time we're in trouble, it's something that we did. It's something that we got into. Now, even when you didn't think about it, maybe it's something you should have been thinking about. You know, maybe you said, well, I didn't do this, but where are you? Did you think about what someone else might have done? Same thing with Satan. He thought that he should be like God, and he started a war. Ever since then, Satan has been in a state of war with God, with Jesus. And it's not our fight. Unlike me, though, all of us have a big brother. We have a Savior who you can call upon when the crowd is starting to gather. And everyone is getting around you and they're saying, okay, it's time to throw down. I want to remind you today, it's not your fight. You have someone who you can call upon to help you. You are not alone. You're not in this by yourself. You may be facing some big opposition. You may be facing some crises, but it's not your fight. Let's say it again. Amen. You need to understand that you have a big brother. You have someone that you can call upon. You don't have to fight the situation on your own. I remember one fight I got into. This guy was big. He wasn't tall, but he was big. And I knew that if he ever got me on the ground and got on top of me, there was no way I was going to get him off of me. I was just wanting to stay away so that he couldn't get me on the ground. But you know, I didn't have a big brother, but I did have Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, Satan has been trying to start a war. He wants to pick a schoolyard fight where the odds are in his favor, where he can get his gang together and corner you by yourself. You know, you ever knew you were going to have to fight? And you was watching the clock at school and you were thinking, now if I go through this entrance, maybe I will meet up with him. Maybe I can slip by. See, Satan has planned a schoolyard bully fight just for you. But what you have to remember today is not your fight. You have someone in your corner. You see, he's been using his bully tactics from the Garden of Eden. First he got Cain to commit murder. He got someone to kill his brother. Then, during the biblical time of the Old Testament, he tried to destroy the Jews. He's been picking for a fight all through the ages. He's been looking to get his gang together after to get you in the schoolyard by yourself. That's why we come to church. You know, the Bible says not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Why? So that we're not alone. So that we can encourage one another. So that we can lift up one another. We can tell you, I made it. I got a deliverance this week. I got a healing this week. God blessed me with a job this week. My electric bill got paid. And yesterday, God helped me in the field. Amen. Amen. I'm not hearing you today. Am I by myself? I heard a preacher said, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Well, I don't know about that, but I know that it's not my fight. If you will really learn that this is not your fight, you know, you relax. You were so happy when you saw the crowd and you realized it wasn't about you. Okay, I can go home tonight. I can leave here and I don't have to get involved in that mess. See, Satan has been trying to make it your fight. He wants to gang up on you because you know what they used to say, why don't you pick on someone your own size? He doesn't want a fair fight. He wants to pick on you by yourself. But you know what you have to tell him? I'm not alone. I have a bigger brother. The brother yesterday was telling us a story about a gang member, and I was reminded of the gang member that Chris and I met when we were in Phoenix, and how he had been in the gang all his life when he was 18 years old. And he got caught doing something, and it came up before the judge, and the judge was going to sentence him to 6 months of jail time or 6 weeks of church camp. So he thought he was so smart. Yeah, church camp. I don't mind going out there. And, you know, he had in no way, mind, shape, or form that he was going to meet Jesus. He thought, I'll go to church camp. What kind of punishment is that? So yes, Your Honor, send me to church camp. It'll be so hard. I will hate it very much. But you know what? Something happened when he went to church camp. He met Jesus. And as I said this morning, you can't meet Jesus and not be changed. He got saved at church camp. But now he was coming back to the studio. Satan decided to get the gang together, to gang up on him. You can't quit this gang. They were the kind of people, apparently, that, you know, they kill you. Leaving school, he sees about 50 of them coming towards him. They got chains, they got knives. They're gonna get it. They get about 20 or 30 feet away, and then they suddenly start slowing down. And then they stop. And then they just start melting away. And they try this every night for about a week, and finally one of them comes up to him and says, who's those dudes? Who's those tall guys in the light that's standing beside you? Every night we try and get you, we see this gang. Which gang have you joined? Which gang have you joined? He didn't see nothing. But you know, guess what? It wasn't his fight. It wasn't his fight. It's not your fight. You may think you're alone, but I'm telling you, you may not see it, but you have just joined the heavenly gang. And you know, they have some signs too. One of them is raising your hands and saying, thank you, Jesus. I don't know about all this other kind of stuff they do, but we have a sign for the heavenly gang. And as you lift your hands and you say, thank you, Jesus. You lift your hands and you say, in Jesus' name. And you can have some more power than some chains, some blades, some whatever other stuff. Because guess what? It's not our fight. We belong to the heavenly gang. And they got some gang signs. And it's when you shake your brother's hand. We don't have any of these fun. I can't even do it, but you know what they do. I don't know what they do. Some kind of finger stuff. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do. One guy tried to shake my hand one time, and I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's not the gang I belong to. I belong to the heavenly gang. You know, and when he shows up, it's a then it becomes a fear of fight. Satan doesn't want to deal in that kind of thing, you see. I tell him, go pick on someone your own side. Yeah. See, most of us, though, we try and fight Satan's gang by ourselves. Yes. We think, we look at the problem, we go and say, we start thinking and working it out. What am I going to do? Okay, now, maybe if I do this, maybe if I call this person, maybe if I go do this. You know what you need to do? You need to get the gang sign where you get on your knees. Yeah. And you lift your hands and say, Jesus, hallelujah. Because guess what? It's not your fight. It's not your fight. See, Satan will try and get you when you want to leave his gang. He don't like them. He's just like that gang in Phoenix. He wants to kill you. He doesn't like anyone leaving his gang. He's after your soul. And you don't have to let him. You need to do some heavenly gang signs. Raise your hand and call out Jesus. Every night they came to jump in, they would come close and then they would see all these tall figures in white and they'd all start to back off and melt away. Isn't that right? Isn't that what he testified? That was what his testimony was. He was in a hardcore gang. He had done all kinds of things, drugs, all kinds of stabbings. And Satan didn't want to let it go. But he had joined a bigger gang. We belong to a much bigger gang than Satan. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean he's going to give up. That doesn't mean that he's not going to try you. You see, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He might even be able to now and then get you by yourself. He may even put you in prison. But that's not the end of the story. This is what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of these things which shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. He may try and get you down for a while. He may have cornered you for a little bit. He may lock you up in prison for a little bit. He shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. You know, if he had run away, if he had backed down, maybe they'd have all just tried to run him down. But they saw him still coming towards them. And then they saw something else. Some figures in white. And I don't know what he said they had in their hands. They had swords in their hands. That's what the gang members, he didn't see nothing. But you know what? He didn't run away. He just kept marching towards the light as if, I am not alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the promise of God has said. It's not our fight. If it was my fight, I'd lose. If it was your fight, you could not make it. He's bigger, stronger. stronger, taller, faster. But he can't become God because it's not our fight. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast up in you. He may make you scared. He may get you in trouble for a little bit. He may lock you up for a little while. He shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto them. You know, I believe it was his faith that saved him. If he had stayed in the school and just kind of, well, I don't know. But he just walked out like as up north, walking towards this gang of 50 guys. He can see they got chains, they got the knives out, they're looking at him. And they're coming towards him. But you guess what? Once they got to 30 feet, something else happened. They started to look crazy. They started to look at each other like, what? What's going on here? They later said they saw some huge dudes with swords. And they all started to melt away. It's not our fight. Whatever you're going through today, whatever you're facing, stop worrying about it. Stop worrying about it. Lean not to our own understanding. You see, Satan, if he's brave enough, bold enough to attack all of the prophets, some of them he put in prison, some of them he had put to death, and then finally he attacked Jesus himself. But you know what Jesus did? He used the sword of the Spirit. He said, it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, many times we think, we look at the stories in the Bible and we see all these great biblical heroes, how it seemed that they fought and they won. But you know, you need to go back and read the story real carefully. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17:46. 1 Samuel 17:46. And you all know this story very well about David and Goliath. Now, it seems as if David fought Goliath, didn't he? He went and he got the stones. He wound up the sling. He was the one that let the stone loose.
Yes.
But you know what? Even in this story, it was not David's fight. Yes. Now you read this story very carefully, very carefully. I want to show you something. This is David talking to Goliath. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Who's going to do the delivering?
The Lord.
Was it David's hand that was going to do it?
No,
it was God who was going to deliver Goliath into his hands. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord, who saved it, was it David? You see, Israel wouldn't fight the giant, the whole army, not one of the champions would come forward to fight this giant. See, God was trying to show something here, that it's his fight. It's, we may be instruments if we humble ourselves, but it's his fight. It's not our fight. David acknowledged this in verse 27. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord. Let's say it together, that the Lord. One more time, that the Lord saveth, not with the sword, nor with the spear. Now look at this. For the battle is the Lord's. You thought that David fought Goliath? David was the instrument, but it was God that guided that stone. David may have been a very skillful sling thrower, but it was God that guided. That giant was covered with armor. There was probably just one little slit, one little spot that the stone could have gone to throw him down. You don't think David was that skilled. He was probably 50 yards away. But you know what? David said, you know what? I'm going to let this stone loose and God is going to guide it right to this spot. It's not our fight. It's not your fight. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. You see, David said, for the battle is the Lord's. Goliath, you're looking at me like a little youth. 17-year-old, that's all he was, a little boy. In fact, Goliath was insulted. Why you send this little boy to come fight? Who do you think you are? But you see, he didn't understand who he was really fighting. He wasn't fighting David. He was fighting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When you get out there this week, when you are in your battle, remember whose battle it really is. You can call upon the name of the Lord. They may be coming to you with a sword and a shield, but you come in the heavenly gang sign. Say in Jesus' name. In Jesus. You give them the heavenly gang sign. That's where the real power is. You call on the heavenly gang. You don't know what shall appear on your left and your right. The Bible said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You maybe think you're in this fight by yourself. But this guy, this 80-year-old, he went to church camp, got saved, came back, tried to quit the gang, now and they're coming together. See, Satan doesn't like a fair fight. He wants to send a giant, a Goliath, to come and scare you to death. But you see what David's attitude was? Hey, I'm not fighting you anyway. I'm just God's instrument. I'm going to throw the stone, but God is the one that's going to guide you. God is the one that's going to deliver you into my hands. And you know the story. How they cut off Goliath's head. And they took it to Jerusalem. And they buried it on a hillside. And that place is called the place of the skull. The place of the skull. And guess where the place of the skull in Jerusalem is? It's where Jesus was crucified. He trampled on the Goliath's head. He was crucified. He stepped on the giant's head. Amen. You see, it's not our fight. Sometimes we look at the situation, we're facing the Goliath, we look at ourselves, we're just puny, we're a little small. But we got a heavenly game. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. My dad could tell all kinds of stories about the times when he was way out in the bush and then a gang tried to attack him. And all they saw was some lights around him. Every time they got close, all they saw was lights. They couldn't come close. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. You see, we take everything and we believe it's our problem and we got to try and fix it and we got to try and solve it. But just like when the children of Israel first came into the promised land, and as the song says, the Lord fought the battle of Jericho. Did they have to do anything? No. All they did was march around the city and give God glory. And on the seventh day, they marched around the city 7 times, and they gave a shout. And guess what happened? The walls fell down flat. You see, it wasn't their fight. God made the city walls collapse. They went up on with no walls, and they took over the city. That's the kind of battle. If you will wait upon the Lord, if you will trust the Lord, he will fight your battle. You give him the heavenly hand sign of worship, of praise, of thanksgiving, of exaltation, of singing, of prayer. You are not alone. Satan will suddenly have to back off because you know what? Some dudes will show up. Some heavenly dudes, as they put it, will show up. Amen. I am telling you, God has delivered me so many times. Now, I haven't claimed I've seen angels, but I know the presence of the Lord was there. I've told you this story. I was driving on the freeway to the airport down in Jacksonville, and suddenly from the other side, here comes this car at 80 miles an hour, straight to me. He just crossed over straight at me. I didn't even have time to think, but the angel of the Lord encampeth around them and feared me. It was over before it began. The Lord just made that car at the last minute just go by. I don't know how it happened. I really don't. I only got scared afterwards. It was so quick. He was going at 80 and I was going at probably 82 because I was late. And he just crossed to me and I don't even know what reason why he did it. He just came straight at me. See, the devil was picking a fight. I think the only thing I had time to even think was Jesus. I called out in spirit, Jesus. I gave the heavenly gang sign, and that car just swerved. The other time I did actually hit the wall at 50, 60 miles an hour on the freeway, and right behind me were some semis. I don't know how they did not hit me. That's a miracle. That is just a miracle. I was in the fast lane, semis behind me, all cars behind me, and I hit the wall. I hit some water, and I swerved into the wall at 50-something, 60 miles an hour. When my family came and saw the car, they just could not believe that I walked away from them. That car was smashed flat up to the driver's compartment. They just looked at it and shook their heads. You see what happened? I had a heavenly gang help. The first people up to me was a policeman and a nurse. And they said, are you okay? And I had to look at myself. I had to stop and kind of well, slow because this wasn't real. This couldn't happen. I got out of that car and I looked at it and I looked at all the semis that had somehow missed me. See, See, it wasn't my fight. I couldn't have won that battle anyway. The angel of the Lord, hallelujah, encampeth around them that fear. God had a purpose for me still living. God has a purpose for you still living. There is a reason why you're here today. It's not your fight. But he has promised to bring you deliverance. It's not our fight. I'm going to be closing. You see, a lot of times we start to worry. What am I going to do? How am I going to pay the bill? If we look with our own eyesight, we look at our bank account, we look at ourselves, we got nothing. In the natural, yes, we should get afraid. But we're not alone. God was just showing a little lesson yesterday. He only gave us $30, and I say only. But it bought us supper. Amen. I'm thanking God for that $30. It bought us supper. Because we serve a God, he can never be outdone. He has always made a way, always made a way. Every time I'm facing what looks like disaster, he comes through. Because as I said in Sunday school, he's given me one word. And all you need is one word from God. You can walk upon it. If God has given you that word, C-O-M-D, you can walk on that word. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Rehoboth New Life Center, located at the corner of 21st and Highland Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, would like to invite you to join us for Sunday service at 10 a.m., featuring great praise and worship and the Word given with purpose. Also join us on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. for Revelatory Bible Study. You can also listen and watch great studies and sermons at www.rehobothnewlife.com.